From Coral Springs High School in sunny Broward County, Florida, the name of this podcast is Pulled Up. Here we go. Hello and welcome to Pulled Up, the podcast where Coral Springs High School teachers talk about the films that pull them up so they can come in and pull up the students every darn day. My name is Russell Aronson. I am the Cambridge School Support Coordinator at Coral Springs High School and the ACE Media Studies teacher. Normally behind the cameras, we have Mr. John Place, but for today's episode, in front of the cameras.
Oof, here I am.
There we go. We have Coral Springs High School TV production teacher, Mr. John Place, to tell us about teaching and the film that pulls him up and to answer questions from his own students.
Okay.
So that's the three-part structure that all of our devoted fans know by now. So we're just going to roll right into it. And in order to stay focused, I'm dividing this into three segments, right? So the first part of our teaching segment is the John Place of your origin story, if you will, is the John Place high school story.
Okay.
What happened in high school or even a little before?
Yeah.
And how did you get to the point where you finished and moved on?
Okay. Well, so like we spoke before, I was not a very studious student.
Okay.
Going through all my years from elementary, middle, and high school. I grew up in a pretty rough situation, you know, in my family and things. So I didn't really have much parental guidance, you know, to guide me where I need to go. So I didn't really go to school very often. My grades were just, they were pretty rough. I was an ESE student all through all my school, you know, through elementary, middle, and high school. High school, I went to my first ninth grade year.
Your first ninth grade year.
I went to Dillard High School.
Okay.
And I played around. I got straight Fs. Straight Fs. All four quarters, straight Fs. Again, I didn't have that parental guidance to even help me get out of that. And back in my day, I know I sound old, in my day, when you didn't pass a grade, you repeated the grade. And all your friends continued going forward. So I failed the ninth grade. At that point, my mom and my sister were going to move to another town far away. I knew if I went with them, my situation would have been worse than it was now. So I spoke to my grandmother and asked her if I can live with her. And she said that she, sure, but she has two rules. Get good grades and make sure my room is clean. Seemed pretty fair. So I moved in with her and I started at Northeast High School for my second ninth grade year. So I did okay. You know, I had C's, D's. I probably had an F in English or math. Those were my worst subjects. But I did okay. I passed. I had to go to summer school probably, you know, to get through there. Then in 10th grade, so also really quick, in my family, no one graduated high school. Okay. So that's how I was brought up. I wasn't expected to graduate. I wasn't expected to do anything, you know, fulfilling in my life. So in 10th grade, toward the end of 10th grade, I decided I was going to quit high school and become a roofer with my uncle in Atlanta. Now, if you've ever been to Atlanta in the summertime on a hot metal roof, it's hot. I stayed there for 3 weeks and realized that this is not meant for me. I need to go back. I need to figure out how I can go back to school, things like that. So I went back to the school, spoke to them, and basically I just had to take math and English in summer school to be promoted to the 11th grade. I had enough credits. So I did that. I went, and of course, those are my worst subjects too, math and English. So, you know, I had the math class, I had the English class. For the first time ever, now, you know, in the movies and things, it's always that teacher, right, that brings you up, things like that. You know, you meet that inspirational person that, you know, it's in the movies.
And then you get the beautiful lighting and the orchestral score and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess that didn't happen.
No.
Okay.
No, not at all. So, but I had English, and I go in there, and this little lady, probably barely 5 feet tall. I hope she's not watching this if she's taller than 5 feet, but she was little. Or she is little. I still speak to her. But anyway, anyway, but she actually, for the first time ever through school, she got me interested. She had me reading books. She had me doing presentations in front of the class. She had me excited about English. I've never been excited. I've never read a book ever until I met her. And then because, and I was doing really well in her class, I got A's. A's. For the first time ever in my life, I was getting A's in English. But because I was getting A's in English, I was also getting A's in math because I was excited about learning it now. So that was pretty cool. But now I knew I would never have her as a teacher because she was an AP teacher and she was like the English department head. And, you know, she taught the smart kids. I don't know, this doesn't sound right. I was not the smart kid. I would never have her. I had like basic classes. So anyway, I got through, got my A in summer school for the first time ever. And now I'm going back into 11th grade in regular English class. And I did. I had all my classes. And all through high school, I was good with things with my hands. If you put me in auto mechanics, if you put me in ceramics, if you put me in wood shop, if you put me in graphic design, I got A's. Didn't even think about it. All of the academic courses, I always got F's or D's or barely squeaking by because my grandmother had the rule. I had to get decent grades, not great grades, but just pass. So anyway, I put in for auto mechanics and shop and all the things that I do. And they gave me some class called TV production. I didn't want TV production. I had no interest in TV production. What's this? I want to build things. So anyway, I show up and I walk in the room and guess who the teacher is? Miss Melillo. Sandy Melillo. That was the teacher. That's her name. Sandra Melillo. So she's there. So that's exciting. But I still didn't want TV production. I wanted auto mechanics and all the other things I was good at. So I had the class and I got through it because TV one, it's just like watching movies, black and white movies, writing little, you know, papers on them and things like that. I got through with probably a C, barely. So the next year, now it's my senior year, I signed up for auto mechanics and all that stuff. TV production is on my schedule again. Like, what is this? So I kept trying to go back to guidance to get out of TV production. They would not take me out for anything. So anyway, I go
tried to escape and they pulled them back.
Now the kids that were in TV production were the rough kids of the school. It was a rough class. I mean, they were carving their names in the desk with sharp objects and throwing things. And I remember one time she got on the desk screaming at everybody, literally jumping up and down on a desk because she was short. So she had to, you know, be above everyone else to get their attention. And I don't know, people have told me that I'm pretty good with working with people. I don't know, getting them to follow me, I guess. Again, I don't want to sound like,
So you were a presence in the classroom for a change.
Yeah, so basically I was like, listen, everybody, if we just do the thing she's telling us to do, she'll stop yelling and we can mess around for the rest of the class as long as we get the stuff she wants done. And that was the first year we were going to start the morning announcements. So for some reason, they listened to me and we did it. And we got through them pretty quickly to where now we can just carve our name in the desks more, things like that. So we were going pretty well. We were getting the announcements done. They were going up. They were great. But I get bored with things very quickly. You probably learned about this just talking to me in the last few months that we spoke. So I get bored really quick. So I asked her, I was like, is it okay? Could I work on like special projects? I remember a year before the kids were working on stuff like high-end things. They were doing movies and going places and doing trips. She's like, yeah, if you want to do that, go ahead. So quick story. I'm bad at that.
The patented play story within a story. Yeah. Okay.
So I got addicted to the class. I got there at 6:30 in the morning. I was there from 6:30 to 7:40. I had the class third hour, fourth hour, seventh hour, and I stayed after school every day till 10 o'clock at night. Now, I stayed till 10 at night. I would have stayed longer, but they turn on the alarms at 10. Twice, I was editing, forgot about the time, and they locked me in. Now, if I would have left, the alarms would have gone on. It would have been a bad thing. So I spent the night there. Again, this was like the mid-90s, so it was a little different.
It was a different time, kids. It was a different time.
So she did all that.
What do you think, looking back on it, she did that others didn't, that changed the way you focused on your teaching and focused on your path? And
she made me do it. With no excuses.
There's no excuses. It no was just excuses. Like, and never stop bugging you about it.
No. Yeah. Never, ever. And like, if I was behind on a class, well, here's what I found out later in life. The reason I could not get out of her class is because she went to guidance and made them keep me in her class so she can help me with all of my other classes. I didn't know that until after I graduated and even further along. So yeah, so she helped me with my, we had to do research papers back then. She helped me with all that. So she helped me with my research paper, with all the, everything I needed to graduate. She helped me. I was the first person in my family to ever graduate high school.
Just by not letting go, not giving up, and not giving you an inch.
She was, you know, she's 5 foot whatever, but when she's on you, she's 6 foot eight.
Yeah, yeah.
sweetest lady, by the way. I talked to her this morning. I talked to her since high school, by the way. I talked to her on a regular basis, you know, all the way through.
And she's going to come in.
She saved my life. She really saved my life.
Wow.
She
did. Yeah.
She saved my life.
And she's going to pop up again in the third part of this.
Okay.
So you graduate from high school.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're not going off to college. You're getting right into business.
Well, kind of.
Tell us that. Yeah.
So, again,
how do we get from high school to the guy who had 15 different businesses?
All right. We have that. I also wanted to make fatter. So she got me, I won scholarships and all kinds of things for McFadder, and I had Art Institute and all these other things, and I went to McFadder. So business, what was your question?
How did you take us from how you got to the point where you graduated from high school to the point where you're an adult and you're running all these different businesses that you've created?
Okay. Yeah. So, you know, I did like everyone. You go to school, you get a full-time job and you do your thing and you make this much money every week. And that's what it is, and you live through life, right?
Yeah.
Then, while I was going to McFadder, I got hired at Comcast as commercial editor, because video is my thing now, I guess. So I got hired as commercial editor. I was the youngest editor they've ever had, you know, me and this other guy, Dwight. And so now I'm an editor, and I was doing my thing. Great. Now AT&T bought Comcast. I became a producer for Comcast. It was a little more corporate there, it didn't fit my personality.
Yeah, doing the tie. Tie gesture. But,
yeah. Well, no, it was more just like they had you doing things that made no sense rather than doing the things that you needed to do to do your job. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Busy work rather than, hey, when this commercial's on TV, we start making money. No, you have us doing paperwork that means that nobody sees. Another story.
Yeah.
Anyway, so at a certain point, I left there. I decided, you know what? I'm going to leave because they did some things and I wasn't happy with. So I left and now I'm on my own. But leaving, all the salespeople were sending me all the work. I was making more money than I ever, ever dreamed of. That'll be a pause in the edit. There it is. So yeah, I was making more money than I ever, ever dreamed of. I mean, I had houses and cars and dogs and all this stuff. And then 9/11 hit, and I didn't have work for a year.
Wow.
Had my car repoed. My house was in foreclosure. I ate my dog. It was really rough. I did not eat my dog. I didn't eat the dog. The dog was fine.
He didn't eat the dog. The dog was fine. What was the dog's name?
Inu.
Okay, see? So the dog didn't get eaten.
Yeah, yeah. It was a Shiba Inu, and I'm really bad with naming
Shiba
things.
Love Shiba Inus.
She was okay.
They're cool.
They look cool.
That's a different podcast.
But yeah, so I named her Inu. Yeah. Okay. I had a cat through high school. His name was Kitty. Yeah. My dog that I have now, she has a name, but I still call her dog. So, I don't know. It's just easy for me to remember.
You keep it...
Keep it simple.
I'm surprised
my kids have names. But,
So 9/11 hits.
9/11 hits.
And it's hard on business. Yeah.
It's really bad. For a year, nothing. I had to get rid of everything. So luckily, I was able to sell my house, you know, right, like literally 5 days before they were going to take it. Now I had a bunch of money. And I, you know, paid for a year straight up to live in a townhouse. And now I know that I have to get business. I have to figure out a way. I needed some printing. And I met a guy in the neighborhood that did printing. And I do graphic design. So I asked him, hey, how much for business card? He's like, well, why don't you do some printing? I was like, because I'm not a printer. He's like, no, become a broker. Da 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 da. Long story. So now I'm selling business cards and doing graphic design. And that's the first time I realized that, oh, you can do like side hustles and make way more money than this. So I started doing printing. And then with the printing and graphic design, I got my video business back up and did that. And it did very well for a lot of years. So that's how I got into like business type entrepreneurship type things.
So like in the period right before COVID at your next transition, how many different businesses are you running?
Oh, wow.
you can't even count.
Right before COVID. So I have a photo booth business. Before COVID, so I won't get to the ones I have now.
Right.
So it was a photo booth, video production, graphic design, printing are like the main things. And then I also got into, I used to travel the country doing zombie makeup and doing seminars because I started doing another project for video production called Faba TV. It was like face painting, and we'd fly in artists from all over the world to teach face painting classes. And from watching those classes, I learned a lot, and then I created my own products. One was called Monster Paste. And one was called Monster Pasties, and I was selling those worldwide, something I created that nobody else ever has, and they were doing really well.
So all these businesses, again, so you bounce back,
yep.
All these businesses are blowing up,
mm-hmm.
Then comes the pandemic.
Mm.
What happens there?
So I'm going to try not to cry because it always happens. I promise myself I'm not going to cry, so I'm going to take big breaths.
Well, it's going to be good ratings for us if you do, but I do what you got to do, man.
So, if you Google John Place COVID, you'll get a lot of info. But right in the beginning, we were doing like everybody else. We were, staying home, not going out, unless it was an emergency kind of a thing, wearing masks, doing all the things. And I got COVID, and I got it really bad. This is toward the beginning. On Father's Day of 2020, so that's June, the end of June, I started feeling kind of achy one night. The next morning, I had like 105 fever. It went up to like 106, 107 fever. Went to the ER. They told me I have 10 minutes to decide if I'm going to go on a ventilator. It was like that serious. So at that point, I was so sick. I was like, just do whatever, And back then, even now maybe, but back then, like when you went on a ventilator, you were pretty much done. But I didn't even think about that. It was just like, do whatever. I was
do what
sick.
You gotta do.
Yeah. It was that, we asked the doctor, well, what's the percentage? They're like, well, it's 0% if you don't, it's 20% if you do. 20% is not a good number when you're talking about your life.
You say, do what you got to do, and you got a 1 in 5 chance.
Do what you got to do, yeah. So I was on a ventilator for 20 days. I was in the hospital for like 65 days. When I did wake up, I passed 3 different times. They told my family, just get my things in order because I wasn't going to make it till the morning. And then I made it every time. So I finally woke up. From when I remember waking up, I actually woke up 2 days earlier. I don't remember that, but they said, no, you've been awake for 2 days. Don't remember that. But
wow.
When I woke up, I had no movement. I couldn't move my body. I had to start all over. I had to learn how to walk again, how to eat again. They had to give me like eating tests to make sure I can swallow and before I can eat solid food. And so that was over a month of trying to learn how to, come out of that. So short story, I finally get out of the hospital. I have... and I know it's COVID, but I had over 100 people outside the hospital waiting for me to get out. It was a huge celebration. The first person I hugged, or the first people I hugged, was my family. The next person I hugged, Miss Melilla was there. So,
and then she brings you to our next bit, which is, how did you get from that point to, I'm teaching TV production at Coral Springs High School?
So I'm at home 3 weeks after the hospital. I still have a hospital bed in my room in my home, right? She calls me up. I mean, she's called me days before that too, but she called me up. She's like, okay, hear what I have to say. This is exactly how the conversation went. Hear what I have to say before you say anything. Just listen to what I have to say. Okay. So she said that, Coral Springs High School, Mr. Salo is the TV production teacher. He's retiring. Mr. Salo was also my band teacher when I was in high school. So she's like, listen, your name's come up a few times.
Coral Springs High School legend.
yes. So she's like, your name's come up a couple times. I think this would be a good opportunity for you because you need health insurance. You need stability. You need this. You need that. And right now you're not doing anything because I was in the events industry. We're the first to shut down, the last to start up.
So it's that same thing all over again.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and already I was like, and she's like, no. Listen to what I'm saying. She got through. And again, she's, 6'8" when she's talking to you.
nothing changes.
No. So she's my mom. So she tells me everything. And I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, okay, he's retiring. School year already started. So I have a whole year to basically get my business back and not even worry about this conversation. So I called Mr. Salo, talked to him. This was on a Tuesday night. I remember it. He's like, yeah, no, I retire on Friday. I'm like, Friday? That's in 3 days. He's like, yeah. I was like, you don't make it to the end of the year? He's like, no. When we retire. And that's it. So I was like, oh, he's like, so call Mr. Marhefka, the AP, and talk to him. Da, da, da. I was like, okay. So I called Marhefka in the morning. In about 5 minutes on the phone, he's like, hey, can you come in today and have a conversation? Sure. Now, I didn't think it was a job interview. And also, I'm only out of the hospital 3 weeks. I could barely walk. I drove here, which was thinking back, really dumb.
Perhaps not the best move.
Yeah, it wasn't the best move. But I got here, and for about 2.5 hours, we had a conversation. And at the end, he's like, you're my guy. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. You know I don't have a degree in teaching. I know nothing about teaching. I have a high school diploma and McFadder. He's like, nope. All you need is 10 years for the department I'm in. You need 10 years experience and a high school diploma, and then we'll work on the rest. I was like, oh. So he's like, you're my guy. I'm like, okay. So I call Michelle as soon as I leave. I'm like, yeah, they want to hire me. She's like, they know you're not a teacher, right? I'm like, yeah, they know. They're like, and she's like, I'm like, don't worry. They're going to teach me everything I need to know.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't take long. And we've kind of talked about this because there are some younger teachers in this podcast series. You don't start learning until the day you walk in the room.
Yeah. And even then, it's 4 years and I'm still learning a lot.
27, so, I'm still working on.
So I get home and I get a call from Marhefka, Mr. Marhefka, right? I'm like, he came to his senses. So I answer the phone. He's like, hey, listen, in all the excitement, I didn't even ask if you wanted to accept the position. I'm like, okay, sure. So he's like, all right, do all the paperwork, this and that. It took 6 weeks. So now I show up on my first day of school and I don't have a classroom yet. So he's like, okay, you're going to go to my office, sit at my computer. And it was online then. So now I'm trying to teach TV production online. I had no clue. So I'm like, okay, so what do I do? He's like, I don't know, just talk to him. I'm like, and he's like, oh, that's the bell. Go ahead. And he closes the door. And I'm just there looking around like, what do I do? And then there was that. Now I'm here.
And now you're here.
Now I'm here.
That is, that's such an interesting story. Number one, because I think it's important for especially students who I'm certainly hoping are going to watch this to realize that you think sometimes that success is a straight line up.
Oh, no.
And it just doesn't work that way.
It's huge dips.
And some of us, it's little wiggles. And some of us, it's big.
It's always been huge.
Huge
waves for me, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But that same thing for everybody. It's just, it's not like, okay, you figure it out and that's it. And you're done for the rest of your life.
No.
And it's like the line goes up.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It changes in an instant.
Yeah.
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 COVID was an instant thing. Meeting Ms. Melillo was an instant thing. Getting into the face and body art thing. I met a balloon twister at a restaurant. That's how I got into that. You never know who you're going to meet along the way.
It sounds like the beginning of a joke. And so I think that's important for students to hear. And the other reason why I like that is it's actually a good segue into our next part because it so obviously explains why you chose the film you chose.
Yeah.
So we're going to take a little break and then we're going to come back and we're going to talk about the film that pulls you up, Men of Honor. So hang tight. We'll be right back.
Diving is the most dangerous job in the Navy. If it's lost underwater, the Navy diver finds it. If it's sunk, he brings it up. If he's lucky, he'll die young 200 feet beneath the waves, for that is the closest he will ever get to being a hero. My name is Master Chief Billy Sunday, and I am God. Get up there, come on!
You get in there and fight, Carl. Don't quit on me. Yeah.
Reporting for diving school.
You know what the Chinese say, Cookie?
Beware what you wish for.
Some things just don't mix. Do they, Chief?
Time for training.
They were separated by rank.
You let go before I relieve you. You fail my course right now.
Permission to relieve the man below, Master Chief.
I got no room in my class for heroes. You read me?
But connected by courage.
Hey, you listen to me, Oki, because this is a direct order.
Get me dead before you get to him, sir!
You will not go in that water.
Yes, sir!
One man fighting for his honor.
Your conduct is completely unacceptable and are hereby reduced in rank to Chief Petty Officer.
You think you're better than me?
You're damn right I am.
Well, let's just see.
And one man.
You're the one they talk about.
Driven beyond his limits to succeed.
What did he say to you to make you try so hard?
Be the best.
Well, you are.
Why do you want this so badly?
Because they said I couldn't have it.
That boy's got 5 minutes of air, and you screw up and that boy's dead.
You read me?
Give it up,
Cookie.
This ain't worth dying for. We got an unknown contact, probable Russian submarine.
Academy Award winner Robert De Niro.
When he fails, you retire.
He ain't gonna fail. How you doing this, Sunday? You might get yourself in a lot of trouble.
Tick people off.
Academy Award winner Cuba Gooding Jr.
We have many traditions, some good, some bad. However, I wouldn't be here today if it weren't for our greatest tradition of all. Honor, sir.
And we are back for our second segment of Pulled Up with Mr. John Place. And this time we are talking about the 2000 film Men of Honor. And I think this is kind of interesting because this film comes out right after Remember the Titans, which was the big film with our previous episode with Scavetti. So this is kind of like a high watermark for the motivational film.
Inspirational film.
Yeah, the inspirational film. So as I always do, I geeked out a little bit. Men of Honor is directed by George Tillman Jr. Important name. He makes a splash with a film called Soul Food, and this is his follow-up to it. And it's kind of interesting because when he makes Soul Food, he's making a film with people he knows and his friends. When he makes Men of Honor, he's in the Hollywood machine. And that kind of changes things a little bit. And I think it's going to relate to some of the stuff we're talking about because it's very much a story of him trying to do things in a way. And they're like, oh, you're in Hollywood. You can't do it that way. So I think it folds into our theme here. He also did The Hate U Give. He directed episodes of Luke Cage and This Is Us. He directed Notorious. So a lot of cool films in there. I want to shout out to the cinematographer, Anthony Richmond. I'm always trying to shout out for the people who work behind the scenes and aren't the big names.
Yeah.
And he worked on three really great films. One of my favorites, Sandlot. Which is just a classic.
You're killing
for
me, Smalls.
Me. You're killing me, Smalls. If you guys don't know what that means, you need to watch Sandlot.
Yeah.
The original horror film Candyman, not the remake, the original Candyman, which is a real high watermark for a change in the way in black representation in horror films. Huge change. And Legally Blonde. So he has this very distinctive style, and I think that's important there. The cast is unbelievable in this film. Obviously, we have Cuba Gooding Jr. coming hot off of his Oscar win. And we've got this guy named Robert De Niro, rather important actor. Charlize Theron, Michael Rapaport, Hal Holbrook, Powers Booth, Holt McElhaney, David Keith. These are all characters, some of the names you know, some actors, some of the names you know, some you may not know, but there are some real legends in there.
They were all huge at that time, too.
Yeah, yeah. Most of those were absolutely huge at the time. And some had been like David Keith and Powers Booth and Holt McElhaney. They keep showing up. I saw Holt McElhaney in the recent Mission Impossible. I'm like, that's Holt McElhaney. And everybody's looked like, Aronson, shut up. Just watch the movie. But I film geeked out. And Anjanou Ellis-Taylor, who plays his love interest, Bashir's love interest in the film. Mm-hmm. And she's just unbelievable. Check her out in King Richard, where she plays the Williams sister's mom. And she plays Mama in the most recent Color Purple. And the reboot of the Justified TV show, she's amazing in it. Check that out. So I have to shout those folks out.
And those are all things I didn't even know about. So thank you.
So, you know, and it's interesting because the amount of talent that got packed in this film is absolutely unbelievable. And it's not only in the performances, but it's in the way it's shot and in the way it's directed. And it's a tricky film to direct because it's got a lot of these murky underwater shots. And, you know, that can be difficult in film. So I appreciated all those elements. But beyond all of it, you have to appreciate the story of Carl Brashear.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of it comes down to a quote that you picked from the film.
Yeah.
So I want to start with that and then kind of wrap back around to it. So what's the quote?
So there's a part where someone asked him, why do you want this so badly? And his response was, because they said I couldn't have it.
Yeah. So he's son of a sharecropper in a really cool opening sequence. Mm. So he's the son of a sharecropper. He wants to go into the Navy. His father says to him, I want you to do all the things I never did. I want you to be greater than I ever could have been, you know.
Don't come back.
Right, and never come back.
Yeah.
you know, which is so powerful at the beginning of that.
Yeah.
Go
Saying
and
to
never,
a little kid. Yeah.
Yeah. Go and never come back. And it's such an anti Hollywood sort of statement. And I really like that.
Yeah.
So he's a black man in the Navy at a time where you don't have a lot of choices. If you're a black man in the Navy, you're a cook or some kind of like personal assistant to an officer or something like that. He sees the Navy divers. He sees De Niro's character as Navy divers.
He wants that.
I want to be a Navy diver. And then that's it. It's just, it's the story of him wanting to be a Navy diver. The prejudice in the system that held him back, but as if that wasn't enough. Personal tragedy strikes and he loses a good part of a leg.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, I still want to be a Navy diver.
Yeah.
And so we get into this next segment. So, do you remember seeing this film for the first time?
Yeah, so I remember seeing it. So it means different things to me at different times. So, you know, when I first saw it, it was all about the, you know, because, you know, why do you want this so bad? Because they said you couldn't have it. So when I saw it, it was kind of that, because all my life people told me, you can't do this. You're not going to graduate. You're not going to be anything. You're going to be on welfare. You're going to do this. That's what it was.
Yeah.
And then I got through that. So that's the part, you know. And then when this podcast started coming up, I was going through so many movies. I couldn't think of anything. And then I can't remember what brought it up. But really, when I watched it again, it still had that meaning for me. But then it had the meaning once he lost his leg, having to come back from that. And that reminded me of my COVID, like, you know, how to learn how to walk again and be, and you know, strength and things like that. So it was a whole different view on it at that point, because you don't understand how hard it is. The simplest thing, brushing your teeth, or even just be able to lift your arm. Well, for a year, I couldn't lift it past here. To be able to do this, that's, you know, you don't think about how
wave hello,
right? Yeah. The smallest things, just to come back from that.
And I think that's so important, especially as teachers, because as teachers, and I think it's important for students to understand that those little victories are so huge.
Huge.
You know, and sometimes we lose sight of it because we're trying to get students to this goal at the end. And we have to realize, no, you've got to make sure that you're placing the importance on these little incremental goals.
Yeah.
You know? So it's important for us to remember it. And I think sometimes students are like, well, big deal. So I did this or that. No, it is a big deal.
Yeah.
Some days just showing up is the big deal.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And and I also like the idea that when a film speaks to you, it does it in different ways at different points of your life.
Yeah.
Like, I think for me, there are some films where you saw it once and it was a big deal, and then it doesn't mean anything anymore.
And you see it years later. Yeah, it's a totally different experience.
Yeah. You're like,
I've had that on a lot of movies.
Yeah. And I would say, can you think of any? But then the podcast is going to take 3 hours.
Yeah, right.
You know, especially for me. Like, I'm thinking of one like Reality Bites that I saw in my 20s. I'm like, yes, this is everything I'm thinking.
Well, for me, there's a lot of movies where I saw when I was younger, like comedies. And I laughed and they were fun. And then later I watched it as I'm older. I'm like, oh, I never understood that joke before. That's great. Like, I remember one real quick. I remember one from Coming to America.
Okay.
You know, the very end where he's like, you know, and he brings out my soup and I say, hey, you know, taste my soup. He's like, is there something wrong with the soup? He's like, just taste my soup. But sir, is there something wrong with the soup? Just take my soup. He's like, well, where's the spoon? Ha ha, ha ha. I never understood that. And then later I'm like, wait, there's no spoon. I get it now. But I didn't understand that all these years. And then I just watched it out of nowhere, you know, 20 years later. I'm like, okay. Anyway.
No, that's great.
But I didn't understand the joke. I was just like, I don't get it. I didn't get it. And then now I got it. So.
And so sometimes it's just, you know, you have to experience something more than once in order to get it.
Yeah.
But I think when a film has true value and true meaning, when you experience it, you come at it with all the new life experiences. You come at it with a different direction. That says something about the film, and it says something, you know, about your growth path. That you saw something a little different. It wasn't about just that first process of saying, I'm not going to give up.
Yeah.
It's, I get knocked down, I get back up again.
Yeah.
You know? So that's really interesting. So, and so you watched it again then recently.
Mm-hmm.
Are, aside from the amazing story of Carl Brashear, was there like, is there a scene that kind of stuck out to you more than any? Because there's like one or two scenes that really
for me, like I said, it's really the after the injury,
yeah,
and going back through recovery and doing it, and then at the very end, because if you watch the movie at the end where he has to stand up on his own carrying 280 pounds of equipment, and they make him stand up on his own. That stand up was exactly what I went through. Now I didn't have 280 pounds on me, but standing up, it was so the most difficult thing. And again, there's videos on YouTube. The most difficult thing I ever did. But when I did it, the nurse was cheering. I was like, I did it. Like something as easy as just standing up off the bed,
right,
was the most amazing thing I've ever gone through in my life. Like it really was. And it's so hard to explain if you've never gone through that. But so watching that, and when he stood up, waterworks. I was done. I rewound that probably 3 or 4 times just to watch that part, because that standing up and shaking and just like, you have to just do it. There's no, like, I remember telling the nurse, and again, it's in the video because I recorded it, like, don't touch me. I could do it. Cause they're supposed to like hold a belt and like help you up. And I did it. Now, not the first try. I tried for weeks before that. I couldn't even stand up. It was bad. That's the part. That's really the part that got me.
That's interesting, because sometimes when we watch these motivational films, and you're like, they're Hollywooding this up. Mm-hmm. And there are aspects of that. Like the Robert De Niro character is completely made up for this film. Did not even exist.
Oh, okay.
Because instead of just saying, well, like for the first part of his career, well, why couldn't he do this? Because racism. Why couldn't he do this? Because racism.
Right.
That doesn't work on screen. You have to have a character who embodies that, right? And so he had to do that. And it's kind of an odd performance. He's way, even for De Niro, he's out there. That Southern accent is
great.
Crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy with the pipe, and it's like, what are you, Popeye the Sailor Man, right?
Well, basically, kind of.
Yeah. It's like the true story of Popeye the Sailor Man. It's a little bit weird. But for me, I'm actually amazed at all the times where the film does that Hollywood thing, right? When I'm watching it, I'm like, I'm amazed at how often it doesn't over-dramatize things. Like when he's taking his first diving test and they set him up to fail, and all the little parts that he has to put together just sprinkled all over the floor, and he has to take hours
in freezing water.
And it's just, you see, it's murky shots of this guy picking up little pieces, and then he puts this little piece together, and then he puts this little piece together. And that, combined with the understated performance that Cuba Gooding Jr. gives, and I'm constantly amazed how it doesn't take the easy way out. Mm. For every time, it saves those moments for when he stands.
Right.
Because if they would have done that 10 times more, then that wouldn't have had that power.
Right. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So it balanced it out, and I was really amazed at how often it didn't take that cheap Hollywood out.
Yeah.
Men of Honor.
Yeah.
Thanks for causing me to watch it, because I never would have watched it. As we've established in other episodes, I'm not like an inspirational film guy. I'm inspired.
I love them.
By like, look at the lighting in that shot, or you know, I'm inspired by just pure creativity of something.
Yeah, I think at that same time was like October Sky and all those. I love those.
Yeah, ones. Yeah. It's like when Hollywood realizes something's a hit, it's like, oh well, it's a hit because it's inspirational. Yeah. We have to make 50 inspirational films.
Right now it's superheroes. If you're watching this. Well, 2020.
That's over. It's the A24 horror film or something you know? So that is Men of Honor. And I think we've covered it, and I hope people check it out. We're going to take a quick break. And I think it's time to take questions from your students.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy, indeed. We'll be right back.
Baby diver, stand up. Wear that rig and approach the rail.
Sorry.
One. Two. Three. Four.
Navy divers, stand down.
Divers, you will disregard. This is my detail. Yes, I want my 12. Nine. The Navy diver is not a fighting man. He is a salvage expert. If it's lost underwater, he finds it. If it's sunk, he brings it up. If it's in the way, he moves it. 11. If he's lucky, he will die young 200 feet beneath the waves, for that is the closest he will ever get to being a hero. Hell, I don't know why anybody would want to be a Navy diver. Now you report to this line, Cookie. Howdy.
Just hold it, but don't give me any pressure.
Okay.
All right, ready? Hold on, let me strip. Just tap my feet. It's gonna be a one, two, three, then go, okay?
Okay. I'm blocking the water so it doesn't fall.
Okay. One, two, three, go.
Look, Mom, no hands.
No hands. And I can stand without you touching me, actually.
Okay, I barely touched you. Okay.
I'm standing, just like that. One step at a time.
And we're back one more time with Mr. John Place. We are going to give you some questions from your students.
Have you ever met my students?
I have. It's always entertaining in here, man.
It is always entertaining.
So I'm going to start with a nice soft pitch over center plate for you. This one is from Christina LaFauci.
Ah, yeah.
Okay. Do you think your students keep you young? And I guess when you look at the shirt he's wearing, then you're going to get an answer to that question. But I'll let you actually like answer verbally.
So I've had pretty good luck, I guess, in all of my business ventures and things I've done where I've always – basically, I've been a clown my whole life. Mm. I notice like my friends that are – or some friends. I'm sorry to put out my friends. But people that I know that are my age or younger – that have stressful jobs, they look like they're 20 years older than me. And they're like, man, you look so young. I'm like, yeah, because I'm a clown. I play around. My stress level is pretty, you know, self-maintained. You know, it's pretty low. So, yes, they do keep me young. You know, as much grown-up things as I have to do, we also do a lot of playful things. And I'm a kid. I'm a kid at heart. You know, I have four of my own kids. And, you know, I treat my students the same way I treat my own kids. They keep me young and we do all kinds of strange things. I can't even think of what I'm saying, but.
Well, it's just, I don't think you can do the job if you don't spend some time as a kid.
Yeah.
And I think it
helps me also.
Okay.
Doing the job, being a kid, because, you know, I can relate to a lot of other things too. And also having four kids, they're adults and smaller too. I think it makes them more comfortable.
Yeah.
It makes my kids more comfortable when I'm not just like, they can come to me and they talk to me and they tell me things that some things they probably should never tell anybody. And a lot of things, I mean, I give them advice. They come to me for advice rather than, you know, and I guess it's a good thing. You know, they trust me enough to ask me for this advice. And, you know, I'll help them.
Well, you wanted and needed that guidance when you were in their place, right?
I did.
So it's kind of understandable then,
yeah,
on that way. And, you know, not saying like an adult trying to act like a teenager. It's just being a child, having the play and the wonder and the ability to kind of see things.
Hopefully, yeah, when we're serious, we're serious. When it's playtime, I'm happy to play.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. It's about setting those boundaries.
Yeah.
Jake Maudlin asks. So
why am I sweating?
No, this one's a good one. I love this question. So he asks, you know, you've got all these businesses. So like we talked about at the beginning, COVID, these businesses kind of fell apart, and then you kind of came here, and then a lot of those businesses you're still doing on the side.
And I started a new one, yeah.
And started a new one. So with all these businesses, then why teach? Which I think is a question that would be on a lot of students' minds.
They ask me that a lot.
Yeah.
They ask me that a lot. Health insurance.
That's a biggie, kids. That's a biggie.
No. I mean, the health insurance is pretty good, but it's not the health insurance. Really? Okay, so I didn't know the answer to this. Seriously, no joke. I didn't have a direct answer until about a month ago. All of these 4 years in, and I didn't really know why. Because I've asked myself the same question. Why am I doing this when I can do all my other stuff and put it in full time and, you know, and I came up with the answer, the exact answer. I'm going to try not to, like, break
down. Go for it, man. Come on.
Yeah, I'm just going to say it. So I came up with the answer about a month ago. And the answer is, I want to be someone's Miss Melillo.
Okay. All right. Yeah. That's nice.
She saved my life in many ways. And I want to do the same for somebody else. Even if it's a small thing. And I've done some things. I've helped some kids that needed help. And I won't say names or what it was exactly, but recently there was something that needed to be done so that they can do something very important in their life. And they weren't going to do that thing that was important in their life. And I'll tell you a story of what happened to me. And I know we're getting into it, but it all comes around in a circle, like pay it forward kind of a thing. So they weren't going to do this important thing because of whatever. And I did something or got them the resources to do the thing that they can do. Because somebody helped me before.
Yeah.
I know that's very vague, but I just want to do it that way.
Yeah.
So something that happened to me, we'll just say, so in high school, Miss Melillo, prom was coming up. I wasn't going to go to prom. I didn't have the money for prom. I didn't have a date for prom. I wasn't going to go to prom. Didn't mean that much to me. There was another girl named LaToya, and we were both like, we were TV production. Like if you thought Northeast High School TV production, it was me and LaToya. And she broke up with her boyfriend, and she wasn't going to go to the prom. Miss Melillo came to me and said, listen, I bought you tickets to prom. The only thing is you have to buy a corsage and give it to LaToya because I got her tickets too. And you guys both need to go to prom. Not together, but you need to be there because you're the vision. You know, you are Northeast. You know, you have to be there. So I went. She bought the tickets out of nowhere and I went to prom. And so did LaToya. And it was great. And I'm glad I did. So thinking about that same thing when I was hearing the student in the background talking about this certain thing, I just, without telling them, I helped them out without them knowing it. And then I let them know it. And I hope it's appreciated. And I hope they'll remember it, you know, for the rest of their life, like I do. And there was a lot of other little things that, you know, people did for me. So I want to just be able to do that for somebody. I want to be somebody's Miss Melillo. That's pretty much it.
It's hard to top that.
Yeah.
Even though my last question here is from Barbara Krantz. Do you believe in aliens?
Yes. you know, it's funny if you go on my YouTube history, I watch aliens and I watch pyramids. Like, yeah, I do. I watch it all. I really want to know how they're built. And I can't wait until we either find an alien, which I think it's coming soon, because they keep pushing it out to us slowly. And in the next 5 years, they're gonna be like, "Look, we found an alien," and we're gonna be so like, "Oh, it's just another alien."
It's just another alien.
Just another alien. I do.
The name of this show has been Pulled Up, a co-production of the Coral Springs High School ACE Media Studies program. Statistically speaking, if you go with Stephen Hawking, you know, famous physicist.
There's too much out there. There has to be something else.
There
now,
you
I'm
go.
I'm not talking about little green men or they're going to visit us, but there's definitely life. I believe it.
I read Three Body Problem and the whole series there, and I don't know if we want that to happen.
No. And also, here's another thing I've always – so aliens, right? We always see them as little green men, right? The size of everything, why wouldn't an alien be 300 feet tall or be as big as the Earth? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Anyway.
Could be.
And then you watch Men in Black where the whole galaxy isn't a thing. That could be it too. Like, as big as the universe is or as tiny as – the smallest thing, I don't know. It's out of my...
Well, it's on the recording now. So you've got it there in 5 years. We're going to see if you're right.
There's going to be there. You know, you're going to see it. You're going to see it.
This has been Pulled Up, a co-production of the Coral Springs High School East Media Studies Program and Colts TV Production Program. Special thanks to Mr. Place for... this dude has edited together all of our stuff. When I first envisioned this, it was just going to be audio only. And I was like, well, it won't be a lot of work for him. And he's like, no, 3-camera setup, green screen. So A, half of that's all your fault. And but B, thank you very much for making everybody look so good. And I'm going to continue to thank retired principal Vivian Suarez for greenlighting the show for the first time. And our new principal, Mr. Dwayne Dixon, for giving us the green light to continue. I definitely want to take a moment and thank Dr. Tamika King, who helped me kind of get the ideas together for this at the very beginning. I don't think it would have been as successful and it would have been as clear if I didn't have somebody who I could like bounce that off of. So thank you very much. Podcast logo was designed by seniors, Brendan Kenny and Vanessa Ramshall. Tomorrow's their last day. Thank you very much, guys. Yeah, that's great. I want to thank, finally, the faculty, staff, and administration of Coral Springs High School, number one, for your kind reception to this show. You guys have embraced it in ways that I never expected, and I am humbled by your interest, and I thank you very much. But most importantly, I thank all of you. We thank all of you for coming in every day and pulling the students up. Thanks for listening. And remember, no matter where you go, there you are. Bye-bye.
And if you want to know the names of my businesses.
Oh, I didn't ask.
It's Well, we have funphotobooththparties.com and Bubbleoso foam parties. I do foam parties and then I do printing and things like that. But I'm just kidding.
Well, you can put that in post credit.
Yeah, we're just going to stick it in right
now. We're going to stick it in post credit.
Yeah, it's the old, hey, what are you guys still doing here?
Yeah, right? Yeah, get out.
All right. Thanks.
That was home. Awesome. Yeah, man.
Much easier than I thought it was going to be.
Good.
I'm better behind the camera than in front of the camera.
Hi. Are you trying to plan an epic party and find that you have all the time in the world to make things just perfect? Hey, guys, please stop. I do not need another hole in the wall.
Mom, can you punch a hole in the wall?
Well, trying to juggle everything just got easier. I have one word for you. Foam party. Okay, two words that will change your life. Imagine a party company that brings everything you need.
Bubbleoso Foam Parties brings bubbles and excitement. And also a party host complete with an outdoor sound system with music that will keep your party popping.
Seriously, their parties are perfect for dogs, kids, adults, you name it. But BYOB, bring your own bear. Anytime, whether it's day or night.
They've got you covered with glow-in-the-dark foam, disco lights synced to music, and much, much more.
They can even color the foam to match your holiday theme, company colors, sports team, or better yet, a gender reveal. You got this.
3, 2, 1.
But wait, we're having twins! Surprise, you've got a boy!
Whoa, whoa, whoa. I know you're thinking that looks amazing, and you're right. It is. But I've got so many questions. What is the foam made of? Is it safe for grass? Where do I get a bear? Don't worry, they got you. Their foam is made of all natural ingredients and is dye-free, non-toxic, hypoallergenic, biodegradable, and eco-friendly, thus making it super safe for people, pets, landscapes, trucks, and grandma.
I love foam!
Foam is great on grass, astroturf, driveways, parking lots, to name a few. And the best part is cleanup is a breeze because the bubbles disappear on their own.
Mom, this is amazing!
Yeah, it is. So whether your event is a private party, festival, church, college, or corporate event, big or small, they've got you covered. Literally.
I love foam.
All you have to do on the day of is point them in the right direction. They'll provide all the hoses, cords, and professional tools needed. Just point them towards your water source, electric outlet, and clear your outdoor space.
But wait, there's more. They even take the guesswork out of invitations because they make them for you. You just provide the event details and tell them what you want your guests to bring. Favorite towels, extra clothes, their best dance moves. You name it. This ain't your same old, lame old party. Never again, sorry. Booking your event is a breeze, so let them help you do less of this.
And more of this. Thank you. Oh, thank you. You deserve it.
I love foam!
Contact Bubbloso Foam Parties today for your ultimate foam party experience.
Pull me up, 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 up.